Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's Jose Galison. You're watching No Way Jose. You can find me on the No Way Jose YouTube channel, all major auto podcatchers and Odyssey as well. Today, my guest is Uncle Hotep. No specific topic today, just kind of shooting shit, having fun. So should be a fun one. I do want to let you guys know how this works. This one is paywalled. So I know I've done a few more of the live stream ones recently with current events and the Four Pony Boys. But this one's behind the paywall. Go up public about a week later. But if you want to have access to the Patreon-only live streams, or just to be able to view it early, roughly a week or so, like I said, patreon.com, snowyjose 2020, lowest levels $2, highest levels 22, gets you the access to do all that. There's different levels of stuff you get throughout. The 20 is a sponsor level. My sponsors, I'm Mikkel Thorpe of the Expat Money Show. Jeremy is an Etsy store at etsy.com/shop/raisingliberty. Follow on Twitter at Jeremy Rhymes. Then Toad, who's my co-host on Tower Gang, which, as I always remind you guys, is an offensive comedy show. So if you expect to be getting what you get here on there, you're going to be sorely disappointed. And if you tell me you're offended, I don't care. But you can follow my buddy Toad at Tower Gang Toad. You can also obviously find the podcast Tower Gang on YouTube, Rumble, all the other audio podcasts. We do well on Spotify for some weird-ass reason. Also, Zach Overacker. At Zoverack, if you follow me on Twitter. Also, I do want to let you guys know, toplobster.com. Use Jose at checkout for 10% off so you can get my merch. You can get that Yeeky shirt. Terrence Yeeky didn't kill himself. I'm hoping to maybe soon to get him to make like a Kenneth Trinity didn't kill himself shirt, but we're working on that. We'll get there. Definitely go get that merch. There's other show merch, other stuff that's not even like a show stuff, other, you know, different types of merch. Ali suggests that I love Top Lop, so he's my dude. He's actually a dude who does Hotep stuff, so it'd be pretty dope. All right, let's get Uncle Hotep in here. Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, what's up, dude? That is one thing we have in common. We both have the same thumbnail guy. Yeah. So, hey,
see what? No, I seen you had Betty Ray Bill. Is that the actual, is that just the cover or is that the actual issue? The Betty Ray Bill Thor?
It's just, they're like little art pieces.
I mean, they are art pieces. Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, it is a classic comic, yeah. But it's like, it's not the actual comic. That'd be, if I had a wall of those comics, that'd be fucking dope. Like, just the actual comic stuff. Cause those are all like classics for those who know. So,
yeah. That was a Walt Simonson run. That was a classic run.
I do like the look back there. I do get a lot of people like, ooh, look how fancy. I'm like, yeah, this was just like a poster board shit. I don't know. I was really into comics a few years ago. I still like comics. I just don't as much. I diverted my obsessive, compulsions to what you see before you right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I guess real quick, for my audience who aren't familiar with you, I guess the Hotep Nation, all that. I don't know if you want to let them know who you are, what you're about and all that. And we'll just kind of get into shooting shit.
I'm just one half of the Hotep's Been Told You podcast, just a black man from Exton, Pennsylvania, just regular guy. I started doing, YouTube stuff like 2004 or something like that. My aim was, just to talk about things and, I had a daughter born like before then and I wanted her to like be able to go back and listen, like we created like a virtual time capsule and stuff like that. Then, the election came and then, I don't know, somehow I got some heat, got some people behind me or whatever, established a community or so, then me and Hotep Jesus started a podcast and, we're at episode 248 or almost at 250 episodes. So we've been doing it, we've been doing it a while. We had Hotep Con. I'm just a regular guy, I'm not trying to be an influencer or anything. I just want to give my takes to the world, that's all.
Yeah, I know. It seems one of your big things is like fatherhood. How old are your kids? You have two daughters too. I have two daughters.
I got one 9 and one is about to be 5.
Shit, I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. Both girls.
Wow.
Yeah, you're in for some fun times. But
I can start to see that, I started a little bit late, but I have no regrets or anything like that. But it's really interesting. I'm glad, I did it. I'm glad I waited, because I'm probably a little wiser now than I would have been if I had them earlier. So it's all good. There's give and takes when having kids at any age. So it doesn't matter really.
Yeah, I think having my kids younger to some extent probably caused me in a certain way to get, see things a little bit more straight, I guess, caused me mature a little bit earlier in a lot of ways. So, but yeah, I can obviously you can play it either way. I'm 31, about to be 32 in June. So my oldest is 13. So I was right out the gate. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, I'm not at all suggesting people do that. It's not smart, but it kind of forced me to get my shit together pretty quickly. So, I think it caused me to mature a little bit more than, the other people in their 20s it's like maybe in 31 with a 13-year-old, it is weird because it's almost like I have like old man energy. It gets to me. But it's actually funny. The biggest reason I wanted to have you on is I saw you were really, really all about the Yiki stuff, which
– yeah.
Yiki for me is a character that really kind of fucked me up when I found out about him. I was like, what the fuck? Like this guy, like everything I looked into, like I guess like the more I looked, I did find that it seemed to be there some sort of domestic abuse stuff with his ex-wife, although it seems to be pretty scarce, whether what was there. So I don't know, how shit can get like,
right.
Between like, separating and stuff, accusations can be made. I don't know what the truth is there. But everything seems to be, he was a good guy. Even that, the ex-wife that he had issues with, she like at the end was still vying for him and seemed to love him. They seemed to even be getting back together. So like, he just genuinely seems like a good dude. He like was trying to do the right thing and got like super fucked. And I don't know, I guess that's just what kind of makes him such a sympathetic character. Like, I don't know. I in some ways I see him and like me and him, I also see like, weirdly, he looks a lot like one of my best friends. So it's like, I guess that kind of fucked me up too. But he had two daughters as well. And he like, so he reminded me of like me in my late 20s, early 30s, kind of deal like, oh shit, because I was active duty military for 11 years too. So that kind of like, I guess in a certain way, I kind of felt this like kinship, and it just kind of fucked me up. Like, oh, here's a dude who got caught up in the system, then tried to do the right thing in a system that was fucking him. And, you know, the system, you know, chewed him up and spit him out. And the fact that his name wasn't a household name kind of irritated me. I mean, maybe household's putting a little bit high, but the fact that like, the fact that I was astonished to learn about him, like this is something I should have already known. You know what I mean? Whenever I did learn about him, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any thoughts.
Man, like I just want to go back to the whole OKC thing, you know. It must have been the Obama era, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was reading on the internet, like after it happened, I read some stuff, people like, you know, mostly about the Ryder truck and what that explosive could do or could not do.
It was 95, so I think it was Clinton, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 But what I'm
okay. You were you when yeah. you when you. Okay, I got you. I got you. I was just making sure. I just want to just check. But go on.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, originally after it happened, you know, when I found out, like, you know, there was no federal agents in the building that day, I'm like, oh, come on. You know, but I never really thought anything of it. You know, then I read some stuff, and I was like, wow. Then I seen The Noble Lie, right? You know, that documentary. That it was a great. It was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. You know, and this was like, I don't know. This was like towards the end of the Obama administration or whatever. Yeah, then it got to, you know, when it got to Yankees part, I'm like, what? You know what I mean? I couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, he tried to do the right thing, you know, and it saddened me that you know, he saw something that he didn't think jived to what, you know, the official story was going on. And you know, they did him in. You know, let's be honest. Like, and that's not the only person they did in for that day. You know, everybody was saying he's a nice guy and everything like this. He I think he got a medal for
yeah.
Didn't he save people that day or something like that?
Yeah, he was one of the first responders, if not the first responder. I've heard multiple people claim first, like as in the literal first, but he was at least one of the first. And he saved, I think, at least four people that day. He actually injured himself while doing, he fell, I think, through like the second floor, you know, kind of like through rubble, you know, trying to, you know, save people, and fell through and hurt his back, ended up in the hospital. That's where the famous line, he goes, Tanya, it's not what they're telling you, which, you know, anyone who, I guess his father has heard that clip from his ex-wife saying that. Yeah. That's like, he says that to her when she picks him up from the hospital, because he rushed to get out of the hospital too, because he seemed to be in a hurry to get out of there, because I guess they were already bugging him about it, like what his story was and stuff there. So yeah, it's wild shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just watching that documentary, and like, and if anybody hasn't watched, I'm sure the people that don't watch your show, or maybe some that haven't, if you haven't seen it, that's like one of, like, anybody asks me like, what's a good documentary, what's good, I always tell them that's the first one I tell them, because it's well done. You know, it doesn't like go off into some weird conspiracies or anything like that. It just shows you the facts, you know. And you know, what did he have? Cuts all over his arms, both sides of his neck. You know, beaten, and everything. And but he killed himself. That's what they say. You know, it was just sad. You know, it's just like, but. To your point, you know, he wasn't well known, you know, and fast forward to today. And, you know, I started to see, you know, I don't know. Hey, if you're the person to take credit for it, to give credit for it, you know, I'm glad. Thank you for that.
Oh, the CNN thing? Yeah.
Yeah. His name does need to be out there more. Because even in the, let's say, like the conspiracy side of the internet, his name isn't really out there. You know what I mean? How do you say his name? Trenado?
Kenneth Trenado, yeah.
Trenado.
Yeah, Kenneth is the one who died, and his brother Jesse is the one who's like gotten the majority of like, you know, documents from the government and stuff through like over 20 years of fighting this shit because of his brother being killed.
Yeah. Jesse Trenado is not, his name is not out there. You know, I think those two people like need to get more attention, because, you know, one paid the price for trying to tell the truth, and one is trying to get the truth for his brother. You know, when I watched that, because when I watched that documentary, I was really struck by you know, I was struck by Yankees, Officer Yankee's story, but Jesse's story was like I can't believe it. Like they whacked his brother because they thought he was somebody else. And just from Jesse's story, like when he said, I think he said in a documentary, he just wanted to find justice for his brother. For every lead he came with, led back to OKC. Like he wasn't in trying to find out anything about Oklahoma City. Like he didn't really care about any of it. He was just trying to find justice for his brother. But every lead he got led back to OKC. You know, and he struck me as a smart guy. You know, I try to keep up with the case. Like I think. I thought they were supposed to have something, a ruling on FOI request. FOIA request. Was it 2 years ago, a year ago?
I don't know if there was one in the last year or two, but he did just in the past few months. He got out of court, but they're still waiting for a ruling. So literally any day now, there could be a flood of FOIA documents come. Or I believe he could be granted discovery, which will allow them to essentially go to like, go get it themselves, which like that would be a fucking gold mine because, you know, he has a team of researchers who have been looking at this forever. So they already like know what they want to go get if they get a chance to be like, all right, we got to go to the warehouse or whatever the hell the place is that, or the files they get to, you know, peruse to be able to pull what they think applies to them. It is wild. So, I mean, maybe nothing can happen too. I don't know. Either way, it's still a story. I think that needs to be known. Just, I mean, there's a presentation that I watched, in preparation for my series when I was specifically covering the Trendy thing. And Jesse gave this presentation, and that was one thing. I forgot. I lost my point for a minute. I got it back. He himself admitted that, like, there will never be prosecutions for this. But what I can do is I can harm their reputation. And I guess the way he puts, I guess you could make the case that's just vindictive. And yeah, sure, it kind of is. But I also think it's a good thing. I think people their reputation should be shot. Like the fact anyone looks at any of these three-letter organizations with any sort of reverence is just silly, especially if you understand the history of the FBI, CIA, ATF. It's just they're like the more, especially with OKC, the more you dig into it, like, it's fuck ups everywhere. It looks like the CIA was involved. It looks like they may have been trying to do some sort of like domestic Gladio, essentially Northwoods type stuff. The fucking FBI was involved. Looks like they were pulling PatCon with infiltrating right wing groups. You got the ATF with informants and like, you know, they're hearing shit about the bomb stuff, but not reporting it properly. Kind of just getting, you know, it's a whole fuckery. And it's like, whether or not like, it was they did it on purpose, there's still blood on their hands at the very least from like the cover up, and you know, just the fact that in a lot of ways they kind of instigated it, whether they did it on purpose or not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what the true intentions are, if what their true intentions were, whether they did it or not, or whatever. I don't know, I have my own feelings on that, you know, whether they did that or not. But I will say, you know, that should show you that, like, you know, we have this talk, all this talk nowadays of what lives matter, black lives matter, white lives matter, man, no lives matter. You know what I mean? Like, all those people that died in there, that was an entirely preventable event. Entirely preventable. You know? And these people die. Kids died. They had a daycare center in the building. You know, I don't know how these people sleep at night.
Yeah.
It's beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, and running it, you know, a country, an empire, whatever you want to call it, you know, you got to do some dirty stuff, I suppose. You know, but this is to do that? For what?
Yeah. I mean, my opinion is it was, I think there's probably more than one reason, but I think they probably did know it would take a huge amount of steam out of the militia movement of the time, and then they were able to characterize every person who cared about their gun rights or whatever or freedom as another Timothy McVeigh, which, you know, just a generic, you know, white supremacist who's willing to kill children. Like, so, I mean, it was kind of the same thing we see to this day where, you know, any white dude who has, I don't know, like, how many times did we hear the January 6th people referred to as like white supremacists or alluded to it at least, you know what I mean? Like, so it's the same old thing, you know, like once you start recognizing these patterns, they just keep doing it. I mean, shit, they probably did. I don't know what they probably did with like the Malcolm X and them. Like, I know, like, hell, I mean, maybe it's a bit of a mischaracterization, but I remember growing up as a white kid, I always kind of thought Malcolm X was pretty racist. And I guess in some aspect he was beginning out. But now as I got older and looked into him more, I was kind of like, yeah, I guess he kind of was, but it was also, it wasn't like in an offensive way. So it's kind of like, I don't care. And then also he did kind of change his opinions on that later. Like, you know, yeah, you know, my opinion is like, he was kind of like into socialism and shit. But aside from that, a lot of the stuff he was preaching was pretty fucking dope. You know, yeah. It's all about like self-reliance as a community and shit like that. So I forgot what my point was tying those two together.
No, I mean, you're definitely right about Malcolm, yeah. But he definitely changed after, you know, he went to Mecca. So I wouldn't, you know, and maybe in the beginning, maybe you would characterize him as racist, but at towards, you know, after his trip to Mecca, yeah, he definitely wouldn't. But you're right about, because, you know, 80s and 90s, like 70s, 80s America, early 90s America was way different than today, you know. And you're right, like, they had to do something about these militia groups because they was way bigger, you know what I mean? There was real militia groups. It's not like today where, you know, Proud Boys and Antifa. Like, it wasn't, like, yeah. It was, these guys were for real. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this was post Ruby Ridge and Waco. They were fucking ready to fucking pop off.
Yeah, it was the real deal back then, you know? So, and I mean, I guess the government said, hey, man, we got to do something about it. And this was the plan or whatever. But I don't know. It's, you know, I just hope that we can give justice to Yakey. We can give justice to Trinidad, you know, especially Yakey, you know what I mean? Like, This guy should be like a hero. Mm-hmm. He should be like, I don't know, a national holiday. You know, I'll never forget. Listen, I used to work with this guy from Oklahoma, man, who was from Oklahoma. He lives in Pennsylvania. He's from Oklahoma. I sent him the Noble Lie link. I was like, what do you think of this? Never heard back from him. You know, I think some people are afraid, you know, to break their image of America. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they're afraid to get, like, to look under the bed. You know, sometimes you throw stuff under the bed. And, you know, one day you got to look clean to under the bed and it's a whole bunch of mess. You know, when your kids, they throw all these toys behind there, you don't ever want to go under there. But one day you got to look under there. You know, I think some people are afraid to look under the bed. You know what I mean? They just want to live their life of in bliss, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I was never raised that way. You know what I mean? You know, being, I don't, I'm not saying it was the worst thing being black in America, but it was a different thing. You know what I mean?
You learn to distrust authority a little bit.
Yeah. I just think we need to make him a household name. You know, hey, I'm all for it. You know, I need to do more. Gotta get his name out there, you know, because he's, like I said, he should be a hero, you know. And the fact that he's not even his wiki page is like, you know what I mean?
It's a joke, yeah.
Yeah, I asked ChatGPT. I asked the chat AI what happened to him, and you know, it gave me the fluff answers and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, that he slit his wrist and his throat, then walked a mile and a half, and then shot himself in the head.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know. And it should be scary to everybody. You know, yeah. If they want to do that to somebody that, because, well, I say they, well, I don't know who it is.
Who's they? yeah, we know what we mean when we say they, that nebulous they, that, you know, those that rule above us in shadow, whoever they may be. Right. I mean, yeah, maybe they might be certain prevalent in certain demographics, but it's obviously not uniform one way or the other. So, right, you know, right. It is what it is, you know. which I guess we'll probably get into the Scott Adams soon. So that's kind of a good, I guess there's common themes there. But I did want to kind of, I'm curious, what do you think? What is your gut feeling? Because I have my opinions, and there might even be more kooky than you think. I guess not even kooky, because I do actually have, arguments to back it up. But I wouldn't say it's rock solid. Like, what is your opinion of, like, what was your read of what happened in OKC? Like, was it intentional? Was it just they fucked up and then they tried to cover it up? Or, you know, what was your read of this situation? Obviously, I'm not saying this is 100% like what happened, because I'm sure you would even admit that, like, you might have some things off, because it's like, we're not operating off of, you know, all the facts, because if we were, then we wouldn't be speculating. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they groomed Timothy McVeigh. Now he's all pissed off about Ruby Ridge. Like, hey man, he kept grooming him, like, hey, we gotta do something. And you know, put this truck out there. You know what I'm saying? Something else was in the building. You know, there's been scientific evidence, like a fertilizer bomb isn't doing all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I lean towards that, but that's one of those ones I don't assert, because it's like, I'm not a demolitions expert, but I'm like, this don't seem right to me.
I can't find it, man. I wish I had saved some stuff I've seen.
Yeah, there were eyewitness reports of people that I think like a week or so prior that saw what looked like people planting devices along the columns and shit.
Yeah, I think there was definitely bombs. And I think that's what, yeah. I think there was people that said there were bombs being diffused afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were multiple times they called off rescue efforts for bomb scares or whatever, because they thought they were secondary bombs. So, and you know, I guess the evidence of that never really stuck around. It was kind of like, oh, that was a false alarm. But a lot of people say that wasn't really the case. There were actual legit other explosives there. So it is hard to say what Yiki saw. I mean, because it's like, we weren't there. It could have been someone he saved that said something. It could have been something he saw himself. He did, though, make a statement that he thought it was weird that even though he was one of the first, people there was already ATF agents in full riot gear ready to go there, and he was like, there's no fucking way they could beat us here, like, this doesn't, and in full gear, because they, like, he hauled ass there, like, it wasn't like he was like, oh, let's put on my full riot gear, like, he was probably just in, you know, street clothes, you know, or his, like, normal, you know, beat cop type clothes, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as what I think, you know, I'm one of those assume the worst type of people. I think the prevailing thing is, you know, the militias in America were taking root, and they had to do something to demonize them. And lo and behold, they were able to groom somebody to pin an event on him. You know what I mean? To take the steam out of these militia groups and everything else. And I don't know. That's my gut feeling what happened. You know, I don't think somebody gets suicided. Two people get suicided. Let's be for real here. If you ask anybody, you just look at the autopsies of both of those men. I don't think any rational person will say, well, yeah, they killed themselves. I don't think anybody would say that. No. You know, it doesn't add up, you know? So there had to be some type of foul play there, you know? So why would you go to such lengths for the foul play on both, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but my gut feeling says, you know, they did that to stem the rising tide of white militias in America.
Yeah, my best good faith interpretation of it would probably be the theory that a lot of people put up, that there was essentially munitions of some sort that were being stored improperly by the ATF in that building that essentially when it went off caused, you know, further explosive damage. Now, that is not what I lean towards, I'll be honest, but that's my best good faith interpretation. And then I guess then you can, from that point, make the argument for why there was a cover-up, because they didn't want to show that they were, you know, they're, you know, essentially not operating they were supposed to, cause far more damage, killed a whole bunch of people, et cetera, et cetera. I kind of doubt it would go to that extent. I lean towards that it was a full-on, like, me and Richard Booth, my expert that I did my over 10 hour series on OKC with, we were shooting the shit and we were like, kind of like, we came up with a good, kind of, I don't know if this would be a metaphor or what the fuck it is, but essentially the idea that it's like, the CIA fucking, Northwoods, or you can call it Gladio operation, if FBI PATCON operation and an ATF informant operation walk into a bar, and the people serving the drinks are the white supremacists. So like that is like my read on it. I think it literally was like a combination of, you know, different agencies, you know, kind of stepping over each other and kind of, you know, I do think there was some at PATCON element where there is the idea was to infiltrate these movements, which they did. I am of the opinion that I actually lean towards that McVeigh was sheep dipped. I'm not asserting that's the case, because I know the sources for this aren't rock solid. The sources are McVeigh himself. McVeigh himself in transcripts to his family, and also I believe their statements from fellow inmates, and also to his first defense team, he said shit that like, yeah, he was like essentially that he never actually really got the military. They put him in a black ops type thing. And I, you know, judging by the story, and once you start digging in and finding other stuff, I'm like, that's not that implausible, you know, with the characters he was hanging around with and what's going on. So I think he was probably essentially the grunt of some sort of FBI PATCON operation. And I think what happened is the CIA kind of seized upon that FBI asset and tried to take it for their purposes for Gladio shit. Because then you have people like Roger Moore, who was fed to the gills. He had done, like, he ended up being the star witness against McVeigh, but he actually was very clearly an associate with McVeigh.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
They were regularly on the, you know, on the fucking gun show circuit. He has an extensive ties to the CIA, doing all sorts of weird operations for them, all sorts of weird little tales of people saying, oh, he taught this CIA class, that CIA class, a lot of shit. He even was on record saying he was upset that they kept using the name Roger Moore because of the fact that he used a pseudonym. So like, he's like, you guys are blowing up my spot type shit. Yeah, and then Andreas Strassmeier, who was a German national that was in the military, trained in fucking counter recon in the German military. He did a small stint where he was helping out the IDF, looked like some, you know, Israeli Defense Force, looked like some sort of fucking, you know, cross training type thing, maybe like kind of working together. And then he magically shows up in the United States. The first person he lives with is David Petruski, I think. Petruski, I know that for a fact, who was a former CIA agent, quote unquote former, who worked on an operation called Operation Phoenix, which is essentially was Northwoods, but in Vietnam. And he had made statements before about kind of wanting to do the same thing, you know, in the future, kind of get the gang back together type thing. And lo and behold, Strassmeier ends up with him. Then Strassmeier moves to this other guy, Dave Holloway, in Texas, and this guy has a militia there. He ends up actually, the Holloway guy is also a CIA agent, or former, quote-unquote, fucking, and he that Holloway guy was running a militia. Strassmeyer got kicked out of that militia because everyone in the militia thought he was a provocateur. And then he ended up in Elohim City, which is where all the, like, McVay and all that, and was spotted with McVay multiple times. So, you know, the kind of crowd he was running with, they glowed like the sun. So, you know, if you understand the glowy terminology. So, yeah, it's I really think there's some CIA shit going on there. And then there also is Carol Howe, which is an FBI informant or an ATF informant who I believe kind of got close to Strassmeyer and was saying shit to the ATF or like agents, kind of like, hey, I think they're going to do some shit. I think they're going to do some shit. And then kind of fucking got skirted off, kind of like, oh, that's nice. So I and that's, you know, you said before the ATF didn't show up that day. I think they had an informant that was letting them know what was going on. And I think likely they probably, I think at one point the ATF was planning on arresting Strassmeyer or something like that, if I remember correctly. And the FBI stepped in. And, you know, it's obviously hush hush what was happened. And then all of a sudden they called it off and they didn't. So, you know, it's weird how the shit works. I mean, that's my read. It's pretty complicated. I've done a lot of digging into this. That's just kind of my rough read on the shit I've heard. But it's like, it's not that crazy once you understand the sources and kind of, you know, see the start recognizing the patterns and the connections. I mean, you feel kind of schizo, like you're reading the tea leaves. But you're like, no, this makes sense, man. This makes sense. You feel crazy, but you're like, I don't know. The documents are here, and this is what they say, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned the Phoenix Program. I just listened to an audiobook, the Phoenix Program, America's Use of Terror in Vietnam. And a lot of times they did, they went out and did work, you know, did hits. Mm-hmm. And it did hits. To blame the Viet Cong.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They would do it. You know what I mean? And just so they could blame the Viet Cong. You know, and damn, I didn't know a Phoenix program guy was
Yeah, no, that's one of the wild parts. You're like, I mean, obviously you can't draw too much of a conclusion from that, but you're like, all right, that's pretty weird that you know, you guys specialize in like a strategy of tension type thing where you enrage a populace through acts of terrorism, and then lo and behold, one of your pupils kind of gets involved in a big old act of terrorism. So kind of weird, you know? Yeah. Very, very, very odd connections to be found there. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, and then I did mention the sheep dip aspect with McVay. That part always was kind of weird to me. Because he also did too. It wasn't until, like, I believe around the time Jolly West ended up showing up over, you know, the MK Ultra guy showed up around, you know, McVay, then all of a sudden he got with the official narrative, at least to official people. You know, there were also reports where he would say to fellow inmates shit like, you know, I'm going to get out of here, right? Like, they're not going to let me die. Like, he still was under the impression. I mean, I think he did get killed. And there was a lot of conspiracy theories that, like, oh, they got him out of there for being a good soldier. But I do think they're probably like, we got you, bud. And then they just kind of let his ass fry.
Yeah, because he, you know, he thought he was in the army till the day he died. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think he put on his thing, you know, occupation, U.S. Army. Yep. You know what I mean? So, like, he thought he was in the whole time. And I think he told family members he was in the whole time, right?
Yep. Yeah. It's why there's literally, and it isn't like weird shit where they're reporting it to people. It was the FBI had them tapped, their wires tapped. And like, I don't know how we ended up getting the documents. Maybe this is one of the things that came through Jesse, but somehow we got a hold of the documents. And yeah, there's literally transcripts of them having conversations about how he's still in and shit. And, you know, cause he told his family that like, no, his whole story was he went to go train for special forces. And then the official story is he hurt his foot when he was in Desert Storm. And then he wasn't able to make it through special forces training. But according to what he told friends and family and his, you know, first defense team and inmates while he was in, is that, that wasn't the case. He actually got, you know, sent to go do covert work. And, you know, one of the points I frequently bring up is, because this is shit he also, I believe, was telling the cops when he got, you know, taken in initially, is one of the points I bring up is you got to remember this is the mid-90s. And the stuff he was describing to them was shit like, they were going to have me help out like the feds with, you know, drug smuggling operations for funds. And if to say that in the mid 90s, like if someone got busted today and, you know, some crazy person and they started saying shit like that, you'd be like, there's a crazy person. Cause it's like, they're just saying shit that's out there. Cause today in 2023, fucking like most people or anyone in the know knows that the feds have done drug smuggling operations for off the books funds. It's just like a known thing. In the mid 90s, that wasn't really a known thing. So it's weird for someone to be singing like that, saying that kind of shit. He was also kind of alluding to like PatCon type stuff, which is, you know, what I mentioned before. So it is just like weird. You'd be describing these things that haven't really become public knowledge yet. So, and like, this is the stuff you're saying. And then like, probably something like a decade later that becomes public knowledge. You're like, oh, well, that was weird. He said that shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. He could have just been crazy. He could have been a compulsive liar. I don't know. But it always struck me as way too weird, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he was, yeah, you're right about the, like, he was, they had some guy visit him, psychiatrist or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might have been one of those MK Ultra. That was one, that's another thing, you know, I find interesting. I read another book about who is the guy? The CIA.
Maybe it's Charlie West.
The guy that has the airport named after him? Dulles.
That sounds right. Yeah. Dulles. Yeah. He was during JFK shit, I believe.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like there was some one of these audiobooks I read that they were trying to find the magic drug to, you know, help them brainwash people and stuff like that, you know, and you know, all about the MK Ultra program and stuff like that, you know, and I'm one of those guys that like, yo, that they figured it out, you know. I swear to you, I'll tell anybody, like, they figured it out. Like, I find it a hard time believing that they didn't figure it out. You know,
I mean, I guess for me, it depends what you mean by that. Like, I think like what, because I've read a decent amount of MK Ultra, and it seems to be, my impression is what their practical results seem to be a far way away from what their intended results were, but they still were like things they could operate off of. So like, for example, I think the whole if you read the book Chaos by Tom O'Neill, I think the whole Marilyn Manson thing was essentially an offshoot of the MK Ultra stuff, but I think it was more like, hey, if we get people to do this or that, like, it was more like manipulate. It wasn't like this, like what you imagine, in my opinion, is like what you see in movies, like MK Ultra, we can give you a trigger word and now you're our sleeper agent. I think it's more along the lines of, we find these crazy kids, we push the right buttons and we get them to, you know, produce the desired results that we want. You know what I mean? Like, whether that's this guy that's kind of, you know, a crazy hippy dippy guy that is also open to violence and you can manipulate and is, you know, infiltrating Hollywood, which is what Manson was kind of doing, you know, like, and you kind of control him from the outside, you know, you get him to essentially become this Fed trap where like young fucking aspiring artists kind of end up partying with this group and shit, you know, like, because he was kind of mixing up with Hollywood. So like, I don't think it's as straightforward. I think it's just more they learn to manipulate crazies is what it came down to.
Well, definitely you have to have something to work with. Like, it's probably not going to work with everybody, but I think they found a certain archetype of humans, you know, psychological profile that they can really manipulate. Like, for example, I'll go to my grave believing this. The what the fuck was his name? What was the DC sniper?
Oh yeah, I don't know his name, but I know. Yeah,
it was Malvo and Muhammad.
Yeah,
John Lee Malvo and I forget the Muhammad's first name.
One of them had a brain tumor or some shit, or
one
was a different
they, one they executed. The other guy, I think they let, I think there might be the young kid that I think they're trying to let him out or something, or he's about to be let out. I think the older guy was MK Ultra.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you remember, like, before they got him, right? Like, they remember, I don't know if you're old, you might not have been old enough to remember this, but like, they had these press conferences, right? And before the time, the press conference before they caught him, and the sheriff got up there and said, hey, he was like, he was acting like he was talking to the sniper. He's like, I understand you want me to read this statement. And he read this weird ass fucking statement, right? Like, you got me caught like it was like, you know, like the stereotypical Hollywood trigger words. Days later, he got caught sleeping in a goddamn rest stop all his IDs was out on the fucking on the dashboard. You know what I mean? Like, I will go to my grave thinking, you know, that was the DC sniper. That was an example, NK Ultra. And there's another one. You know, I kind of think Hinckley was the same thing. You know, I just think they figured out, but with certain people, they in drugs and things of that nature, they figured out how to manipulate people to do certain things if they have enough time.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you see all the time. What was it, the Uvalde or one of the school shootings? There was a few shootings, you know, recently where if you really dug into it, you found weird stuff where they'd be in like chat groups and there was these people alluding to like it looked like they were talking to people who were clearly provocateurs. Like I do think they're getting hip with. I think we're in this weird time where they're following a lot of the same playbooks, but with different tech. So now we're in this world now where I still think they are taking the lessons they learned from like stuff like MKUltra and applying it in our modern day, to where it's not like something like Charles Manson, where it's like you actually have to physically be in a space with him, like because he actually went through MKUltra type trials while he was in prison, and like that was a big thing of it. Like is he agreed to those trials, or, and I don't remember the details of what all they did to him. But whereas nowadays you don't really need that. You can just, you know, find people who kind of fit the profile you're looking for on this, you know, magical thing called the internet that allows you to kind of like siphon out for what you're looking for. And then you just kind of play the strings just right. Like it's a, you know, like a musical instrument, and kind of like, you know, play off as crazy and get them to do what you want them to do. And it's like, oh, you need a gun? I know a place you can get one, you know, stuff like that. I mean, yeah, MKUltra is a weird one once you start digging. I mean, like Jack Ruby. God, who else? There's a lot of weird shit in connection with MKUltra. Like it goes deep. Like the MKUltra one, it's very, very weird. How this shit pops up frequently. Like Ted Kaczynski was an MKUltra guy. Like I'm not saying everything he did was a complete op. I think maybe he probably just went a little bit crazy and got, you know, all eccentric from whatever the fuck they did to him. But gave us one of the best manifestos there ever was. But
That's eye-opening. He was right about a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's wild. I don't know where the fuck he decided let's blow shit up, but I mean, doesn't really make sense with his manifesto. But I think I want to cover one more thing to get out of here. I kind of alluded to the Malcolm X shit earlier. I really feel like the Hotep Nation, it reminds me a lot of like the kind of the Malcolm X, you know, move, where it was a lot about like community, self-reliance, stuff like that. And so I find it interesting with the recent Scott Adams thing. I kind of would like to kind of get the Hotep perspective generally on that. Cause I mean, I will say it was hilarious. I mean, it's hard not to watch that and laugh. I mean, should I watch the clip of Hotep Jesus watching it laughing? Cause it's just so goddamn funny. But I think there's something to be said for some of the things he said in there. I don't know if maybe, You might agree to some extent, maybe disagree to others, but there's something to it. I mean, I'm not saying don't associate with black people at all. That's not what I'm saying. But I mean, I guess if you're interacting as a collective, you know, I also do think it's kind of gay to be like, you know, I don't know, in 2023, be hard trumping for black rights, whatever the hell that even means. Like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that means. I guess it depends what you're talking about. If you can provide me a specific instance, but it's just kind of pathetic at this point. So I guess I'll let you go. Get your thoughts. I don't know, maybe if you thought it was funny too.
You know, as far as trumpeting for black rights or anything like that, I mean, a lot of people do that virtual signal. You know,
yes.
I live in this kind of liberal town, and you see these Black Lives Matter signs in the front lawns and stuff like that. No black people live there. You have to see a black person. I mean, I'm sure there is, but around like the suburbia, whatever, I've yet to see a black family put out a Black Lives Matter. Maybe one, but the majority of people that do that are not black. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a trendy thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's just like, people, champion all types of sexual rights, gender rights. You know, it. You know, black is just another one people like. Well, virtual signal for, because it makes you, it's I kind of feel like people, instead of going outside and touching grass and helping people, maybe go serve in a food line, sort of going to work in a soup kitchen, help some people out, donate some real money to like help people out with your physical presence. You know, some people will virtual signal it, you know, and feel like they've become a better person. You know, I think it's a bigger thing than just, you know, trying to, you know, virtual singing for Black folks or any type of folks. It's a bigger phenomenon of Americans. You know, I think we've kind of lost our way in, you know, actually trying to help people instead of, we want to look like we're helping people instead of actually doing it. Now, as far as the Scott thing, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, to be honest, you know, most people live amongst people that they're similar to you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's not like, be honest, like how many minorities or Blacks or whatever you want to say, does Scott Adams live around or has ever lived around? You know, he's not even the person to say it. You know, I kind of think, and you know, a bigger thing, you know, there's been a large push on the internet about these racial tensions and shit like that. There's all these guys are acting like agents and shit like that. They're acting like this is the fucking 60s or some shit like that. Like, I find it insulting. It's not even the 80s.
Yeah.
It's not even the 80s.
Dude, I don't mean to throw off your rant, but I had someone today. I tweeted that I'm going on Part of the Problem with Dave Smith. To talk about the OKC stuff, and I kind of put like a Terrence Egan didn't kill himself, Kenneth Turner didn't kill himself at the bottom, and someone quote tweeted and was like, and found a picture from Top Lobster's fucking site, and they put a picture of, because we made a Yeeky t-shirt, and they put a picture of that side by side to, I don't know if you ever watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but like, you know how it'll be like the gang does this, the gang does that, but we have this other show, Tower Gang, and someone put like in one of those shirts he made was a gang says the N-word. It's a joke. It's an offensive comedy show, so it's just like a joke, kind of like, haha, they said it, and they're like, oh my god, he'd be rolling over in his grave if he saw that, and you know, selling that with his, it's like obviously they're implying sort of like commie shit, you know, to be like that some of the stuff they said, kind of like, oh, you're making money off of it, off of him. It's like, one, I don't make a dime off that. That's all Top Lobster. But it's like, two, that what do you want us to give him up for free? At cost? Because we could be giving out for cost for all you know. Like, you don't know what the fucking cost is to put him out. But I mean, they're not. He is making profit. I have no qualms of that. But I just thought it was funny, kind of like the race point you're getting at. They're like, for one, the very point those two things are put together would think the very juxtaposition would undermine the racism point you're making. Oh, you're trying to imply I'm racist? Where I'm literally trying to bring awareness to this guy? And then like, oh, because they made a silly joke on another shirt? From a different show that's not even the same show. Like, he has a ton of different shows on this thing, but it's like, I don't know, I just thought it was funny. I guess it kind of tied into that. It's kind of pissed me off, but you know, it's blocked real quick and moved on.
But like I was saying, like, it's not even the 80s, it's not even the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in Exton, Pennsylvania, everybody knows, but like there was only like three Black families in the whole neighborhood, like maybe 50 or 60 some houses, right? I go on a school bus every day. I got called every word in the book. Every word in the book. Now, you want to, and I'm just going from the 80s. And we're not going to compare it to like what's happening now. Now, I will agree that, you know, the mass media and the elites are turning the heat up on white folks. We don't have anything to do with that. I think people, like when Scott makes these comments and I see other people jump on board, like this is part of the machine. Like, they kind of want this, they want to stir up racial tensions for whatever reason. I don't know. But this is all artificial. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you get off the internet, it's not really like that. You know, Is crime escalated? Sure, it has. Sure, it has. They let everybody out. They don't give them bails. They don't give them bails. They don't ask for bail. You could go. Yeah, y'all can come back when the trial's ready. You know, this is a grand design here. You know, and I mean, it's just like, and yeah, this to see people take it and run with it, like, but it, I mean, that's how it is in America. People are going to grift off everything, anything and everything. But, you know, for people to suggest that there's some real racial tension here or something like that, it's like, come on, be for real. It's not, like I said, man, like, the difference from the 80s and 90s to now is like, it's a big difference. And it helped me compare, if you want to even go back further to 60s and shit like that, you know, so it's not like these jokers are just out here robbing people because they're white.
Yeah.
They rob me. You know what I mean? They rob anybody. You know, I want them lock them the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? That's the answer. But to say, oh, we got to, like, let me go to the poll. Now we're believing polls now. With like, and I've said this on Hotep's Been Told You, man. Like, if you ask, black folks really love white folks. You know what I mean? It's not like the percentage that would say, what was the question? Was white, is it okay to be white? Maybe that 20% was maybe correct. They said no. But the people that said, I don't know, is like, they're going off of, you know, there's been these poll, 4chan, activities where they put up, oh, it's okay to be white. They post it all over universities and stuff like that. And then the media comes out and say it's negative. Then they tie it into saying, it's anti-Semite or something. There was anti-Semitic drawings underneath. So when you tie all that together, when people see that on a poll, they're gonna be like, I don't know, man. Cause in the back of their mind, they're thinking of something else that tying together with that. But as far as relationship with white folks, come on, man, it's not even. Most Black Americans is all right with white folks.
Yeah, I've never had an issue with it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe I'm just a white guy. Maybe I just don't care if someone doesn't like me. I don't know. I guess at the same point, it's also like, I don't know, if someone was racist against me for being white, I'd be like, all right, then we'll fuck him.
Right. I never took it like that. If somebody doesn't like me for being Black, that's their problem, not mine. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's their loss. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's like, people I have to talk to.
I don't fucking need you. Like, okay, I'll move. Keep it moving. I don't know. It is weird. It comes from this weird place of insecurity. People that, I don't really either way, whether they're like getting offended by it or whether they're like stumping for it in like support of, because I mean, I think there is some truth, some stuff God Adams is saying, like, say for example, with like, oh, it never helps you to like really try to fight for them, is what he's saying. It's like, okay, like, yeah, I guess in the sense of like, if you're a large influencer on social media and you're trying to be this white knight for Black people, yeah, you're putting yourself in this weird, cucked out position of like insecurity and weakness. So like, yeah, people are going to pounce on that. Like, it just comes off as just kind of pathetic, really. Like, if you're just like, I don't know, it's just weird. But like, and yeah, and in some of the points he's making, like, obviously there are higher crime rates among areas with higher African-American populations. But now, can you deduce from that it's because they're African-American? I don't, it's kind of hard to separate out the stats. I kind of doubt that. I mean, every relationship I've ever had with a Black individual has been pretty much pretty okay my whole life. So I don't know. I mean, I think when you evaluate things by collectives, I mean, if you looked at it by, when you're talking about areas that are going to be mostly Black, it's probably going to be mostly poverty. And so is that a poverty issue? Or is it a Black issue? I mean, I don't know. And even if it is because of they're Black, it's like, okay, what are you making a point? There's a genetic propensity for Black people being more likely to do that. I'm like, even still, it's kind of like, okay, but it still matters on the individual. Cause like, I doubt there's a genetic propensity, but maybe there is. I don't fucking know. What does it matter? I don't know. I guess like I could kind of understand what he's getting at, but it was like kind of blown up. It's mostly just funny, but I guess there is some like interesting points to be extracted from it. it was very much a very, I don't even understand the point of it. Like, it was a very weird rant. It was like intentionally provocative, but I don't know, made for good internet content, I guess. It was funny. I'll give it that much. But yeah, I don't know. Interesting points, I think, though, to think about. But I guess I liked how it broke a lot of people's brains, the people that immediately got offended. The people that I knew I could rock with were the ones who just like kind of laughed or didn't care. You're like, who gives a fuck what Scott Adams says?
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I think he said that. He was like, after he said that, the people that wanted to cancel him were the left, the white left, mm-hmm. white Democrats. And the people that I wanted to talk to were black people. Like, you know, and I kind of think he just did it. He wanted to pull a Kanye and wanted to go out with a blaze, you know, do his own thing on locals or whatever. You know, he's probably tired of, you know, he wanted to do like he's got enough money than whatever.
Tired of drawing Dilbert.
Yeah, he's doing this for decades.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't need any money, really. He doesn't need to work. Like, he just got fed up and wanted to do his own thing for once, I guess. You know, it's like, yeah. I kind of feel like he just pulled a Kanye.
Yeah, it did kind of feel intentionally provocative. I don't know. Either way, I enjoyed it. And it is one of those like weird moments where it is enlightening, where you're like, I can kind of see how people are. Like, if everyone immediately freaks out and is freaking out about racism or this, and you're like, who cares? Like, I don't know. Can I go touch grass or find something else interesting to be upset about? I don't know. This is just like, who gives a fuck? But yeah, I think we're at a good time. I don't want to respect your time. Me and you both got kids and shit. Probably got shit to do. Right. It's a little bit late in the night. If you want to go ahead and drop your plugs, we'll go ahead out of here. It was fun having you on here.
First off, where do I get to? I need to get one of Yankee shirts, man.
TopLobster.com.
TopLobster.com. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's like I said, he's also you guys' thumbnail guy too.
Okay. So. You can just follow me, Uncle Hotep, on everything, Facebook, Twitter. I'm usually on Twitter or Instagram. Every Thursday night we do Hotep's Been Told You podcast, 8 o'clock on Hotep Jesus' channel. Like I said, we have over, I don't know, close to 250 episodes. So go check us out. We do Hotep Con every year. I do a show on my YouTube on Uncle Hotep. So follow me there as well. Every Sunday, 8:30. Uncle Hotep Factor. It's just, I don't know. We do anything. I talk about a lot of things, you know, but thanks for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. You know, I just hope I can do my part. Maybe we can get Yankee a little bit more etched in the American psyche or subconscious or whatever you want to call it. But
yep.
I think that's that should be a goal of ours, because I think he deserves to go in the history books.
And, yeah, great.
He needs a different entry in the history books. That's his entry right now.
Yeah, I've already called my Babe Ruth. Next time I get on some sort of large platform, I'm going to wear probably a Kenneth Trinity didn't kill himself shirt. Probably it's a move, because I'm gonna push both. Because my point is, I want to get people to like dig into the deeper story, and I think these characters are the perfect way to get you in there. Once you start seeing these, like, you know, clearly not suicides that are associated to a larger plot, you're like, what the fuck is going on here? And one, it's like, okay, well, this is weird. If I was able to get Kenneth Trinity in the fucking, you know, get that moving too, then that's what people are gonna be like, you know, if someone big picks that up, they're gonna be like, whoa, what the fuck? So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I have no idea if I had anything to do with CNN and then doing that Yankee story less than a month after I brought up Yankee on Timcast. But I don't know, if so, cool. I'm gonna try to make the same thing happen for Trinity. And, you know, I think by doing that, that also will kind of push forth Yiki's name even more too. So, but yeah, no, I appreciate your help with that. I do think that's important. But yeah, this is the No Way Jose Show. Find me on YouTube, all major odd packages, obviously, as well. If you want to give me money, patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter @TowerGangJose. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And with that, we are out. Appreciate it, man. And bro.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.